This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
But we're all here. It's Don, Grizz, Dean. Love this trifecta. And our first guest tonight is Jennifer Aiden. How are you, Jennifer?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Good.
You know, a lot of us, what your wheelhouse has been songwriting, collaborating. And so that's what I really want to get into with you. All of us here have written songs.
Okay.
But not to your success level. what you were able
Mine hasn't made it outside the house. So.
No. I have some of those songs too.
Jennifer Aiden here. Jennifer, I'm really excited to talk about because I know many of you that are going to be watching are our fellow songwriters. And again, Jennifer, I thought it was interesting because you started off as a really young kid, fascinated with like writing your first song, and then you got the bug to do it.
Yeah.
And then you really hit home right by entering song contests, right?
Yes, I did. So I started writing songs when I was about 10. And
10.
10, yeah.
What were those lyrics like?
Oh God, they were terrible. It's mostly about like
kitty cats and flowers and
yeah, like a butterfly I saw maybe or something. I don't know. They weren't great. And you know, I remember thinking that it was fun to do. I loved creating the words, and the odd thing was it was something I had to do. It just kind of, the words came to me, the music came to me. It wasn't something that like, I just sat down and was like, I'm going to try to write a song. It was like, it would come to me and I would have to write. And that continued all through my teenage years. And, you know, as soon as I started realizing like, oh, this is something that is a big deal and that not a lot of people can do, not, you know, nobody I knew did this. Then, you know, is when I kind of started to realize, like, there might be something a little weird about me. Like, there might be something a little different.
Right.
So.
And then there you are. And then you entered some song contests and actually won. You entered one that was run where the guy from Rascal Flatts was in it?
Right? Well, it was the guy who wrote all the songs for, or a lot of the songs for Rascal Flatts, Jeffrey Steele.
Jeffrey Steele, right. Yeah. I mean, like, what hurts the most? Isn't that one of the songs he wrote?
My Wish. He wrote a bunch. Oh, yeah.
My goodness. So you won that contest.
Powerhouse.
Yeah. And I got to go to Nashville and work with him. And it was me and 11 other people. And it was just an amazing experience. And, you know, I was going to school in San Francisco at the time in college. And Jeff basically said, you're an amazing songwriter. What are you doing in San Francisco? And I said, going to college.
Is that what I'm supposed to be doing right now?
Yeah. And he was like, you need to be in Nashville. This is where your people are. So 6 months later, I dropped out of college and moved across the country to Nashville.
When you won the contest, was that just like for a single song, or was it a process where you had submitted multiple songs?
It was one song you submit, if I can remember correctly. And
what was the song? What was it about?
It was my song called Broken, and I wrote it when I was 16. And it's just about having your world just being shattered by someone, and you open up to someone, and it just crumbles, and you don't know how to rebuild it or, you know, put the pieces back together. And it's kind of my wheelhouse. I love sad songs. They make me happy. And, you know, listening to sad songs, writing sad songs, all of it is just great. My manager always tells me to like find my happy place and start writing some happy songs, but I just, it's hard. But I remember just submitting that one song. And I know Jeff does the boot camp a little, or he calls it a boot camp. He does it a little bit differently now than he did back then. Now it's more of like a master class, I think, type of thing. But back then, you got chosen to be in this like group, in this contest kind of thing. So
it's amazing. It's amazing. Well, let's do this for everyone that's watching. You one of your songs, and it's, if I'm not mistaken, The song I'm going to play, I'm sure you know what it is. This was the first song you ever submitted, right? Because you wrote it with Corey Batten.
Yes. And
is this the first song that ever was put out to like to other artists to say, hey, I've got songs out here, and that got picked?
Yeah. Yeah.
The first song.
It was my first cut, yes. And I had been pitching songs before that, but none of them, I was brand new because I had just moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a chance to like really develop relationships with publishers or artists or A&R people. And so right out the gate, this was kind of like, hey, you're getting this a song cut, and it's number one.
This is unbelievable because imagine this, people. Like, you know, Grizz and I had always talked about, you know, we should have had our songs and gone to Nashville or whatever. Can you imagine the first song you get out there? And I'm gonna mute y'all because I want you to be able to hear this cleanly, and I want everybody out there to really pay attention to this. Just imagine this: that here's Jennifer goes out here. It's all new to Nashville. This song gets out, and this is the song that becomes a major hit. Like, and this is the first one out of the gate. So I'm gonna play a little bit of it before the copyright strike hits.
That wildflower fight only picked you, took you home, set you on the counter, at least a time or two. Maybe she.
Let me skip ahead a little bit because of the copyright stuff.
Her more thought about me, less joke to make her laugh. Held her when she cried, a little more of that. Maybe
all right, so I'm going to bring it back here because I'm just floored on how the magic of you creating something like that, Jennifer. And when you saw it become a hit, were you just floored? Like, how did this happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we first wrote it, I was like, it's okay. You know? And then as soon as I heard the demo, when Corey sang it and we produced it, it was unbelievable. I was like, oh, this is good. This is really good. And then as soon as Corey called me one day and was like, you're not going to get your first Corey single, because Corey wanted to be the artist that put it out. And he was like, you're not going to get your first Corey Batten single. I said, why not? And he goes, because some guy named Blake Shelton wants to cut it. And my reaction was, is that the guy with the mullet? it was indeed, but he had since cut the mullet. So, and Blake is just a gem. Like, he is just as wonderful as he appears to be on TV. And working with him and being able to experience my first cut and my first number one with him was amazing.
I love it. Just that experience. And by the way, I can see, this is going to be funny, Neil, I can see you. Neil McCoy is in the batter's box, if you will. So I'll be getting to you in 15 minutes. I just want to make sure I acknowledge that you're there. So we'll be getting to you in 15 minutes. So how about that? Right after that is Neil McCoy, Jennifer. So
crazy. Hi, Neil.
Awesome. Hi, Neil. Everybody. We're excited. We are excited. So back to you. Again, here's Blake Shelton doing the song. Do you think at this point, like, does the gates open up at that point? Like, for you, like, all of a sudden these contacts come?
Yes and no. So the struggle that I ran into was, you know, I had just been, you know, really new to Nashville, and getting the success so quickly, I had a lot of different publishers, the same ones I had pitched this song to, who passed on it. Those same publishers were coming back and wanting to work with me. And it was hard because I didn't think that they believed in me. I just think they were, you know, just getting what they wanted in the industry. And I wanted someone to work with who believed in me and what I did as a writer. And so I just passed on a lot of those opportunities and kept trying to search for somebody who I could work with and who actually believed in me and all of that. And, you know, I met Terry Carpenter a while back, and we just kind of kept in touch. And then I felt like, you know, the time was right to sign with her and her company, Real Music Works, and started working with her and her amazing team. And she's been fantastic. And, you know, it's a female run business, which I admire so much, just her kind of pushing through a bunch of different stereotypes and barriers to get where she is, which is fantastic. And, you know, being a female writer myself, it's really hard to break in through a lot of those circles and, you know, kind of infiltrate what the good old boy group kind of has been labeled. And so, yes, doors have opened, but it comes with an asterisk. So, you know, trying to just keep true to who I am and what I do as a writer and just be consistent with that means maybe I have to work a little bit harder, even though I had these doors open for me. I recently had a song placed on Grey's Anatomy, and I worked with my friend Milk on it. That's her artist name. And, you know, that was a big milestone for me and my writing, because I guess, you know, Grey's Anatomy is this mecca of film and TV placements, and they played the full 3 minutes of the song. And
jeez.
Yeah.
It's usually like 10, 15 seconds.
Yes. I've had placements before, and it was not anywhere near 3 minutes. So
it's the entire song, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So that song is called Metamorphosis, and it's by the artist Milk. And,
can I ask you something real quick there? And I know Dean wants
to ask
you.
Sorry, I was on a rant.
No. And I know Dean wants to ask you something too, but real quick, with Metamorphosis, isn't that co-written by the guy who wrote Someone Like You from Adele?
Yes.
So you were working with him. Two other writers, I think, but that's just amazing. Go ahead, Dean. I'm sorry.
I was curious. You were talking about the publishers when they came back to you. When they came back, did they come back with hat in hand and they're kind of like, hey, we were wrong? Or did they act like, nah, you know, like they never talked to you before and it was the first time they were having the conversation?
It was kind of like, hey, look at us. Aren't we great? We want to sign you kind of attitude. It wasn't like we passed on you and we passed on the song. And of course I'm not going to name names, but there were a couple companies that actually were like, we don't even want you as a writer. We just want your song. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, it's a no for me, dog, but you know, so there was a lot of challenges that came with my success. You know, and that was a while back. So I would like to say that it's changed now, the industry, but it really hasn't. And, you know, Maren Morris had a really good post about everything in country music right now with her in regards to women. And I really think that there are amazing writers out there that just need recognition and that need to get their songs heard. And my viewpoint of songs to artists is the best song should win. And yes, just because you can write doesn't mean you should write. And, you know, I just believe in the power of a song and the power of the right artist singing that song. And I think sometimes a lot of people in the industry lose sight of that.
Was there where you go from writing songs for yourself to now you're signed? Is there a moment where suddenly it changes? It's a little bit harder to write songs because you've got somebody with expectations weighing down on you, or are you still pretty free?
I actually thought it was a lot easier. My songs have been flowing so much lately. Really? And I feel like when you don't have a strong team around you, at least for me, I feel defeated. And I feel like, gosh, I have to do all of these things by myself on top of write songs and be creative on top of try to get them cut. And I have a great manager I work with. His name is Doug Green, and he's with New Rivals Entertainment, and he just is a great supporter, and he pushes me. And I had him, but we needed somebody else to kind of lift us out of that, like, I don't want to say slump I was in, but like kind of like the defeatist attitude. And so for me, now that I have this like really good foundation, I think, of a team, I'm able to let go of my breath a little bit and breathe a little easier and think like, okay, now I have people to bounce things off of. Now I have people that I can like turn to. And, you know, being a very family it feels like a family there instead of like a company. So feeling like I could just go to Terry, who, you know, is like a mother figure, and kind of just like run things by her is amazing. And that frees up my brain to be more creative. And so like, I feel like just having this, there's no pressure. I write songs all the time. So I feel like that I just am more open.
You know, you're
one more, Don.
Yeah, go ahead.
Follow up. I'm curious. Do you think, so is that a testament more towards your group, what you're part of in a, with a publisher? Have you gotten a perspective from other songwriters who say, no, it's that way everywhere, or no, it's definitely not that way everywhere?
I've gotten perspective, and there are a lot of writers who have been with bigger companies, and they say they feel like they're just a number, or they're forgotten, or, you know, they turn in songs and they never get feedback, or, you know, I think it just all depends on the company. It all depends on the person, what kind of writer you are also, because I'm not a very quiet writer. So like, I'm going to go in and be like, hey, I'm in this pitch meeting, or I'm in this meeting with you. Who should we pitch to? What should we do next? Like, I'm very forefront in my career. And I think that's key in order to get your voice heard. So you're not screaming into the void, which it can feel like in this industry with so many songs out there, especially with streaming platforms. And you just have to stand out. And sometimes standing out means like taking the front seat of your own career and really pushing yourself.
That's good advice.
As far as the creative process, do you strictly just write lyrics in with a melody in mind, or do you actually play instruments and come up with a melody and the whole song itself?
So I don't play an instrument. Jason Bloom, who's a fantastic writer, he actually gave me some sound advice where because I was getting really frustrated, I couldn't play what I heard in my head. And he said, put the instrument down. You don't need it. You know, you get with people who playing guitar is their passion, playing the piano is their passion, and you sing and kind of produce what you want to hear, and you'll find the right people that you can work with that will help you flesh it out. And, sure. You know, some of the people that I write with that I just adore, who really understand me as a writer, are the Young Fables, and they're a duo out in Nashville. And, their sound is just incredible. They're like Americana folk pop, and I could sit down with them and write and sing my melody to Laurel, and she can just take it to a whole other place. And finding those people are key. And Wes plays guitar like nobody I've ever heard. And, you know, it's just such a magical combination. Yeah, and so finding those people that can really understand me is what's made me, I think, stronger as a writer, so I don't get so frustrated because I can't play an instrument. But lyrics are my forte, but I do melody as well. So, long-winded answer for your question.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah. That's great.
You know, your quote on your website says, I want the world to hear what I feel.
Yeah. And I got a lot of feelings.
So this leads me to, I'm going to hijack what Dean usually asks, but I'm going to let Dean, this is a topic of AI. It's perfect for you. Because of what you feel. Dean, why don't you ask it? Because I love this question.
Yeah, this is something I've asked every artist. If you have concerns, yeah, AI is a tool. Don't get me wrong. There definitely is some real value to in terms of time saving. I get that. But I also see where, you know, the road to health is paved with good intentions. And I worry about, I don't want to say making artists lazy, but making it so that, because you know this.
The right word, yes.
But sometimes your best stuff comes from conflict. You write something, it sucks, you struggle over it for months, and then boom, it comes. And do you have worries about AI?
So I had this conversation. I spoke on a panel, West Coast Songwriters Association had me at their annual conference, and I spoke on a panel about AI this like couple weekends ago. And one of the women on the panel, she's from the Grammy Association, and she said, we need to remember it starts with CI, which is creative intelligence. So AI is a tool, like you said. It's an assistant. It's not, let me type in some themes and have it write a song for me, because it's going to be garbage. And, you know, true writing, the true craft of writing and creating comes from the heart, and you cannot program anything to replace that. And, you know, the emotion and the rawness that people feel needs to be translated onto a page through actual people. And trying to bypass that or be lazy about that is, it's not going to make a quick buck, and it's not going to, you know, a lot of companies are excited about it because they're like, oh, we can just write a song in 30 seconds and this we'll get an AI song to an AI artist and then we'll make millions and whatever. As cool as that is, I think it should be used for good instead of evil, where you give people like me who don't play an instrument the opportunity to maybe work with different instruments and sing what I'm what I hear, and it comes out in the guitar and I could pick if I want it to be a major chord or a minor chord or whatever it is, you know, and be able to help people even who are deaf and have a hard time hearing or can't see. You know, there's a lot of different things that it can be helpful with music. But I feel like using it as the sole creator of a song or the sole creator of lyrics or whatever it is just going to be a detriment to the music business.
Well, to your point, you know, the last song we were listening to, She Wouldn't Be Gone. What I love about that in the chorus, those are just very real lyrics. They're very real. It's like almost conversational. They weren't.
Yeah.
You didn't make them overly poetic. And I don't know if AI would have understood in the song to talk just like a human like that.
Yeah. I mean, AI is not going to magically translate into someone who feels like WALL-E. Like, WALL-E's a great movie, but it's a movie. And I feel like, you know, trying to steer away from allowing AI to be this kind of worshipped, almost like godlike thing that people are going to obsess over. Hopefully it just kind of, you know, settles down a little bit and people calm down to the fact where let's get back to CI instead of AI, like she said. So
that's good.
Yeah.
With the couple of minutes we have left with you, Jennifer, is there anything you wanted to, I mean, you mentioned about your signing, the deal that you have.
Yes.
Is there anything else, something new that you're working on or you want people to know about?
I have music up on my SoundCloud. I'm always trying to, write with people, and I love just listening to new music. And if anybody wants to share music, you know, if they have a SoundCloud or whatever, go visit me on my SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/JenniferAiden13. They can also go to my website, which is just JenniferAiden.com. And I'm very accessible. I just love meeting new people. I love talking to writers about music and just kind of meeting like-minded people and finding a tribe and kind of, you know, sharing music and swapping stories and being inspired. Because that's the biggest thing of how you write a song is my mom always tells me you can't write about life if you're not living one. And, you know, being able to connect with each other and listen to other people's stories and be inspired by them and maybe write songs about them. And I'm inspired on the daily by things from things I watch on, you know, TV, from, you know, This Is Us episodes, from, you know, I did that with Dawson's Creek when I was younger, and all the way up into like the Taylor Swift Eras tour was fantastic. And
didn't you have a song on the Real World San Diego?
I did. Yeah.
See, she even made it to Real World.
Who's an artist or a writer you'd love to collaborate with? Don, was it Adam Hood where we got onto the subject of John Hiatt?
Right.
Oh, boy.
Who would you love to collaborate with?
Probably the person that doesn't collaborate with anyone. Diane Warren is an idol of mine, and she writes the majority of her songs by herself. And if it's not by herself, it's with artists like Mariah Carey or Celine Dion, like nowhere near what I do. Mm-hmm. She would be someone I would love to collaborate with. Mariah Carey has also been my idol. I would love to do something with her. But, you know, they say sometimes don't meet your heroes or whatever, but, you know, I don't know about Mariah, but Diane Warren is awesome.
We had Mickey Thomas, you know, Dean and I got to talk to Mickey Thomas, and Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now was her first number one hit.
Yeah.
And Mickey told us, he's like, I remind her every time I see her.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
No, so
you need to remind Blake. Every time you see Blake, you need to go, I wrote you a number one song, Blake.
Quick story. So when Blake got his 20 number one award, it was at Warner in Nashville. And I just remember him walking in and seeing me. And he remember, like, the fact that he remembers me every time is just, you know, shows the true wonderful human that he is, but he pushed through a bunch of people to get to me, gave me a big hug. And while they were passing out the awards for different people, he was standing in the back of the room holding my hand. So it was wild.
Was he like 6'5"?
Like his chin was like here. Like it was just.
Blake Shelton looks like a monster.
You can tell he believes in you by the way he sings that. Just watching that video and watching the emotion of him as he's singing it, you can tell he believes in that song.
Yeah, and I told him, he said it was one of the hardest songs he's ever had to sing, and I remember him getting off stage one time and being like, look at the vein in my forehead, that's from singing that song.
Well, Jennifer, we're looking forward to more works from you. Everyone follow Jennifer Aiden. Your website is jenniferaiden.com.
Jenniferaiden.com.
Jenniferaiden.com, yes.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook.
Like I said, just go out to her page, follow her on social media, and stay in touch. And then when you got more songs out, we would love to have you back.
I would love to be back. Absolutely. I would love to be back because I would love to be back and even just talk about you guys. We didn't even get to talk about you guys.
There we go. Yeah. Let's collaborate.
Nothing exciting there.
Love that. come on. I'm sure there is.
Have a good night, Jennifer.
All right. Have a good night. Bye, guys.
Take care.